This podcast is intended for adult audiences only and contains explicit language in spicy situations. And we do not replace any advice of professionals, and the views and opinions expressed by our guests do not reflect our own.
Welcome to the Pineapple Express podcast, and I'm your host, Kylie, aka Sexy Swinger Chick.
And I'm Brad, aka Brad the Space Cadet.
Journey with us as we navigate an ethical non-monogamy, sex positivity, sex work, and relationship advice as millennial swingers.
Explore with us as we share some of our upside down pineapple adventures with you.
All aboard the Pineapple Express. I hope you all are having a sexy week, and I have a treat for all of you. So I have Mizzy Bender on the podcast, and she's amazing. I love what she's doing on social media, and I just really wanted to have a conversation with an event host and somebody who's also in the influencer space. It's funny because I had different intentions for how the podcast was going to go. I had like this plan of like, we're going to talk about event hosting and blah, blah, blah. And then it turned into like this beautiful work of art where me and Mizzy really discuss and dissect, a lot of feelings in the power dynamic space and consent space and like being ambassadors of the lifestyle. And like, those are some tough feelings. And it's really cool because we were able to talk to each other and really feel with each other the same feelings. But like, I didn't realize that there was somebody out there who felt the way that I felt, and somebody who I could relate to in this space, because even though I am, you know, close with a lot of content creators and I know a lot of them, I really haven't been able to, I guess, vocalize my fears and concerns and my just where I'm at when it comes to content creating. And I know I talk about a lot about it on the podcast and in my blogging and in, you know, my content. And it really just felt nice to be able to connect with somebody and they were feeling what I've been feeling. A little thing about Mizzy is she's awesome and amazing, and she is probably one of the sweetest, kindest people. And I really love her content. It's so educational. It's so informative. And if you're not already following her, you totally should be. And again, she has her own podcast. She even has her own like boutique, which is really fun. So a little bit about her is Mizzy Bender is a 40-year-old female entrepreneur and influencer leading the way within the swinger/alternative lifestyle community. Mizzy's journey started out with Mindbender parties and still remains traveling the East Coast on full thematic swinger events with her partner in crime, Mr. Mindbender. Mizzy's passion is to drive is all about creating an environment and that's all inclusive and judgment free, where we can be who we are without question, where one can have a platform to talk about the things they're curious about, and finding like-minded humans to love and support one another, which this totally like resonated with me when I read this and just the whole podcast. It was like, I needed her in this moment in time to really just reflect on my journey and where I'm going. So this podcast is very special to me. I want to thank Mizzy again for coming on the podcast, because as much as, you know, I wanted to stick to my plan, it did not go as planned. And I'm so grateful for that. The universe provides you with the right people when you need them. And I really believe that Mizzy is somebody who is going to be a part of my life moving forward and somebody that I'm lucky and blessed enough to connect with. So with that being said, some of the topics we cover today are about, I would say, power dynamics, consent, and in the lifestyle. And these topics can be very nuanced, and these are topics that not a lot of people talk about, right? We don't really hear a lot of other swinger influencers and swinger podcasters really talk about the power dynamics and how that is something that goes along with consent. So that's something that I just wanted to open up and kind of introduce. If you haven't read my blog on it, I would highly recommend reading it. There's a lot of good information in my blog, but I'm just going to give a little overview right now on the podcast about what I'm talking about. So in order to kind of explain what a power dynamic is, I kind of have to, I guess, define it for you. So power is the ability to influence the actions and choices of others. Power can be obvious, like in the case of a supervisor or a mentor, or it can be less apparent when there's a difference in sexual experience. So this plays a role in the lifestyle, and I want you to think about event hosts. I want you to think about event promoters. I want you to think about influencers and content creators. I want you to think about podcasters. I want you to think about entertainers, and I want you to think about staff. And I want you to think about how they have a power dynamic in the lifestyle that is higher than those are of the, you know, people like who are just party goers or even newbies or people who are, I guess you can say, younger in the lifestyle, right? So the important thing to think about with this is when you have that sort of power dynamic, it's so important to talk about like how consent plays a role in that. And when one party holds power over another, whether it's professional or social or personal, the dynamic can impact the ability for the less powerful party to freely give or withhold consent. And it's how we relate in the swinger lifestyle, right? So that's why it's so important to really start thinking about, do I have a power dynamic? Am I some sort of an ambassador of the lifestyle? And it's not necessarily just event host or just, you know, influencers, right? Like this could mean people who are like admins of different swinger groups, right? And I have actually seen this in real time. Like a local swinger group, there is somebody who admins that group. And this person has been called out numerous times for not only the consent and the power dynamic, but they've been called out for like consent, like clear consent violations. Do I know this to be true? Was I there? No, but I'm just saying, you know, I'm speaking from my experience and what I've heard. And I think that that's a really big thing to think about is like, it's not just the people that, you know, the obvious people, the DJs and the entertainers and the, you know, influencers, promoters, like the people who are tabling at the event, right? It's not just them that this falls on. It falls on a lot of different people. And the more vulnerable parties tend to be those of like the newer people in the lifestyle, the newbies who have looked to them for educational information for a long time, and they finally go to this party and they have this expectation that these, you know, I guess you can say educators and people that they've looked up to, people that they've been following for a long time, are going to engage and play with them. And honestly, that's not, in my opinion, not an ethical thing to do. And I think, first of all, it's recognizing the people that have the power and how they should just be more conscious about, you know, engaging in play with, if at all, with people at their events. I mean, that's, I guess I'm not here to like be the consent police and tell you, well, you know, you're a, you know, tour guide or whatever, you can't engage in play with such and such and such and such. I think that communication plays a big role in all of this and making sure that like the vulnerable party has the right to say no and making sure that you're like you question that with them and you let them know, hey, you have the right to say no. I really want you to engage with this and think about it and really make an informed decision about engaging in play with me before you engage in play. Because the thing about giving them the, you know, giving them the option to say no is that shows that, you know, you trust them with their no. And like, that shows that you are really great at creating boundaries and that you care about, you know, the ethics and the moral dilemmas that involve swingers. I don't mean that because there's a power imbalance that, you know, somebody who's of a higher power, like a influencer, content creator, podcaster, event host, cannot engage in play with others, right? But what this does mean is that we need to start having these conversations with ourselves, and we need to start having these conversations with our partners, and we need to start having these conversations with our community. A really great way to start having this conversation and doing a lot of self-reflection would be to have a workbook. So Kitty Stryker, who is a consent advocate, and she does a lot of writing and blogging and talks a lot about consent, she actually has a book, and it's a workbook, and it's called Ask Yourself, the Consent Culture Workbook. I'm going to link it in the show notes. You can purchase it on Amazon. And I highly recommend, if you feel like you might be somebody with a power dynamic, or even if not, maybe you feel like you're a vulnerable party, or after listening to this, you look back on different swinger situations that you've been involved with and you think, oh my God, there was a power dynamic and somebody violated my consent. I wanted to say no, but I didn't feel like I could because, you know, this person was of a social influence and I was trying to get involved with their swinger group, or, you know, I wanted to be an influencer with them, or whatever it may be. I would definitely take a look at this book and do some self-reflection and figure out how to work on that and how to figure out, okay, how do we not let this happen next time? And that goes for the people with the power dynamics. If you are a influencer, an ambassador of the lifestyle, if you have any sort of power in the lifestyle, I mean staff, I mean event coordinators, I mean anybody whose face is out there as a swinger and people are watching you, and it doesn't matter if you have 1 million followers or if you have 50 followers, you are still somebody who has to deal with the power dynamics and consent. This would be a good way for you to have these conversations with yourself, self-reflect on your answers, and figure out how to go from there. How do you grow? How do you change? And if you're listening to this and you are somebody of influence in the lifestyle and you're like, I really don't care, I'm just going to keep doing things the way that I want to keep doing them, then that's really a reflection of your own character. And honestly, that's on you, you know, I mean, but it is a conversation that I feel like more people in the community need to have. And I feel like more people need to sit with it and, you know, come back from like, all right, I've fucked up in the past. But now that I have this information and I know, you know, the best practices and how to move forward with it, that's what I'm going to do. And I think that that's the best part of all of this, is that we're all growing and we're all learning and we're all changing and we're all getting better at the lifestyle and educating people about the lifestyle. And I think that this is just a really important piece of it. And I'm going to keep talking about it because I think it's just so important. And, you know, it rocked me to my core and realizing like I could have been part of the problem. You know, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Like, I get that. You know, I've looked back on different swinging situations and different instances where I have felt victimized. And I've also felt like I've been the person with the power dynamic that could have and should have done better. But, you know, we live and we learn and we grow and we change. And I think that's what life is all about. So I hope you guys really enjoy this podcast with Mizzy. She's amazing. And if you guys have any questions about power dynamics, if you have any questions about what me and Mizzy talk about, or if you just really, you know, want to learn more about swinging, want to learn more about non-monogamy, feel free to message me. Feel free to email me. I've been getting a lot of emails lately from men who are asking me out on dates. Please refrain from that. I'm not going to email you back. Okay. I'm sorry, but I'm not. And I hope that you guys really enjoy this and resonate with this. Thank you guys, and enjoy.
If you're like us, you want a naughty lifestyle without risk. You want to have sex with other couples, some of whom you barely know, and walk away scotch-free. No STDs or other complications. You want to have your cake and eat it too. We want that for you too. Shameless Care offers lifestyle-specific at-home STD testing and prescription ED medications, and we should be your lifestyle medical provider. Use coupon code CHIC, that's C-H-I-C, at checkout.
Okay, you guys, I am so excited because I have Mizzy Bender with me. So she is a content creator, event host, and I would dare to say lifestyle educator, kink educator, somebody who's online and has an online presence. She's on Instagram, on all the socials, and doing her best to educate and support the community. So hello, Mizzy.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So can you tell me in your words, kind of where you see yourself, who you are, what you do, like, tell me all the things.
Oh, wow. It's like super wild and crazy. I think that I needed to kind of like accept it for a minute myself, but I am really trying really hard to educate because we do host our own events. And because of that, I have our own community that has a lot of questions and different things of that nature. And so organically, my podcast came about and my morning show, which is now morphed into an afternoon show, but it kind of all just came about because there was a need in the community. And I was like, hey, let's just start talking about it and see where it takes us. And I have found great passion and understanding and growth while going through it with everybody. So it is all about business, swinging, sex, love, and everything in between.
Yeah, it's totally been a growth process for me. And we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, but like, I was not expecting that. Like, have you ever heard of Moldavite? Maybe, I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yeah, what is it?
So Moldavite is like this crystal, and it's, people say that like when you get it, it totally like transforms your life, and sometimes like bad things will happen. But it's all good things because it's leading you to a different path, right? It's like this very rare, expensive crystal that like you can only get in the Czech Republic. Anyways, I feel like swinger influencing for me has been like my Moldavite, because I had to really look at myself and look at some of the, first of all, look at the way that the world was seeing me online and look at how other swingers were seeing me, right? Like, yeah. Having to remember that this is like some of the people who are watching me, like, this is their first experience with swinging. Yeah. And I could make or break them, you know?
That's a very powerful statement. And yes, I can, I don't know that I'll be able to say mold, but whatever that someone is that you're saying, but I have to agree with you. I think that it is very powerful when you become part of this movement that we're doing, because number one, the amount of self-reflection that you have to do to get to the point of severe honesty. And like, if you're going to have the courage to sit up here and try and educate people, you better bet that you should have the best, highest morals in there. And in order to get to that point, you have to understand who you are, what you want, and what you're trying to relay out there. So it's a very powerful point. For myself, it was a very powerful point when I realized all these things in that aha moment. But it is also the journey that you go on and all of the negative things that you have to go through in life to put you to a point of feeling completely empathetic, sympathetic, understanding, and be able to receive people's emotions and understand where they're coming from without judging them. And that just takes time and talking and all sorts of different things. And so this has been a very powerful journey.
Yeah, and I 100% agree. I think it, you know, when I got thrown into this in a way, like, I had already been on TikTok, and, you know, when me and my husband started swinging, I was like, cause at the time I maybe had like 20 or 30,000 followers, you know, mm-hmm. It was a decent enough platform, you know, but it was mostly like body positivity platform. And so I said to my husband, I said, there's nobody talking about swinging on TikTok, and nobody's talking about like the good things about it. You know, we should do this. And I was like, just for fun, you know, and kind of see where it goes. And it was like viral video, viral video, viral video. And because nobody was talking about it and it was new and people were learning new things, right? And I had no idea back then, 3 years ago, that it was going to end up the way it is now. It's been a journey, but like I said, I kind of got thrown into it and I didn't know what to expect. And like, here we are. But now people like me and you who have been around for a while, we can reflect on that and we can help people who do want to get into this.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of value in that, like us being able to say, hey, these are some of the mistakes that we made. And these are some of the great things that have come out of it. So I want to ask, like, what are some considerations when you plan a swinger event, kind of segueing into like swinger events, because that's a big part of this too, you know, what are some considerations and how is it different from planning other types of events?
You know, I don't think that it's necessarily different from planning, right, you know, a vanilla event per se. The one thing that we do try and keep in mind, though, is safety. You know, do we have enough people around that's going to be able to watch the crowd? You know, who's the team members? Do we feel really super secure with our team members? I think that's more of it. And then, of course, we pride ourselves on the ambiance and the environment that we do provide to our community. So, I mean, our decorations are super over the top, lighting. I mean, we transform the club into a remarkable space and it's different all the time. And our guests love it. So from that regard, I think that we go way over the top, like, and we love that part of it, but the consideration really goes to the safety side.
Yeah. And I think that that's really important. And it's something I think that pretty much most of the events I've been to have taken safety into account. That's a big deal. I think consent. And again, like you said, like the ambiance, I mean, the ambiance can make or break an event.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? And like my partner, so my vendor party started with my partner, you know, so I should say, like, I never woke up one day and was like, oh, I'm going to be a swinger. I never woke up and was like, I want to be like this sex goddess and just like do all these crazy things. There was never anything in my cards. I was married. I was in a really crazy situation where I had an out plan where I was really trying to get my stepson to graduation. And I was kind of like a year away from that when my aunt took me to a swingers meet and greet and didn't tell me that's where she was taking me. And so,
that's like, interesting.
Yeah, the whole thing is really crazy. My aunt and I, more best friends, like, and she went to school with my now partner, and they were very close friends. And I knew they were friends, but she didn't tell me that she was taking me to his party. She didn't say that that's where we were going. She just said we were going to a party, which was not unusual. And I didn't realize I was like a swingers meet and greet until I was propositioned to go into a threesome. So I was like, Auntie, like, what in the hell is going on here? And at that moment, my world changed. And I was like, OMG. My partner, somehow he and I just like happened to magically click that night. And through time, a lot of bumps and craziness, he and I ended up, you know, migrating together. And I needed to be able to accept whether or not I was going to be able to host swinger parties. And I was like, oh my God, not only do I need to learn if I can be part of this lifestyle, what does it mean? I need to learn how to grow a business in it and be part of a business. Like, it was all really crazy. Mind you, in a very chaotic, politically difficult time for myself also. It was a very explosive journey for me too, in a very negative way. So it was like, here I have all of these almost beautiful things going on in a lifestyle that is supposed to be so loving and accepting. In actuality, that's not what it's providing to me. And it became very complex to learn all of these things. Luckily for me, through like the explosive journey of it all, we had like a pause that happened within like our lifestyle's time. Like, and that was probably maybe 6 months after I became part of what this world was. And in that downtime, it gave me the opportunity to watch and learn and understand like what this world was and what it meant to me and the participation of it all and everything. And he really started to show me the ropes of the business during that and learn how it all goes. And then I fell in love with it because my background is business. So organically to be able to run and now do something in, oh my God, I get to be so sexually free. Well, meanwhile, in my marriage, I was married to a Marine who was very structured and I wasn't allowed to wear tank tops. I wasn't allowed to wear two-piece bathing suits. I wasn't allowed to use tampons. Like there were a lot of weird things that really sheltered what the existence of sexuality actually meant. And I was really conflicted by it because like I wasn't allowed to wear a two-piece bathing suit in front of my stepson because it was deemed as like I was being sexual. Well, that's fucking insane. So by the time I got to the swingers world, I kind of was so far out of whack about what all this sexual creations of everything that was around me that was happening, like trying to absorb it all was really difficult. So to have that 6 month period of time to just kind of like take a second and pause was the building blocks to everything. And that's when I really started to understand how to integrate into business, how to become part of this lifestyle and how I want to be part of this lifestyle.
And I feel like taking back a lot of those shame layers, because that's just to me sounds like a lot of shame in relation to sexuality and not even really sex, just sexuality, like being sexy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. It was terrible. Like I couldn't wear pencil skirts or like, I mean, like it was so far extreme that, you know, now that when I got to the point where I'm allowed to be so sexually bold and now I want to be naked all the time. And, you know, I kind of have like no filter because now I go out into society and I'm like, you know what? Fuck this. I lived such a way for such a long time and I am so free now that I'm never going to give that back, you know? So I think that I'm still kind of a little bit skewed and unbalanced, but I'm working on finding the middle grounds. And that's why I love the community so much and why I love the podcast and why I love the live shows, because being able to be vulnerable and share these stories and people being able to understand it and having the conversation is very healing, you know? So it's not just about swinging. It's about being real with people and understanding emotions and being accepted for who we are and the challenges that we went through to get us to where we are now.
And being vulnerable about the most vulnerable thing in most people's lives. And that's sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could be vulnerable about like, cook, like we could be like cooking influencers or like, you know, we could be psychics or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. but being vulnerable, not just about like yourself, but then when you add your sexuality into that and people ask you questions and you're just like, I don't have a choice but to answer this, or like maybe a very triggering thing. Like I was on a live last night and I was this man kept going at me and I kind of had to explain it like, well, this is why I do this because of this trigger and this heals me or something like that. And mm-hmm. I was just like, wow, I haven't spoken about this in a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really triggering. Or no, it was about me coming out as bisexual and like my friends bullying me and being bullied as a kid mm-hmm. for being like the only out bisexual. And my friends were bullying me about it. And I was like, wow, this, I haven't even thought about this in like 20 years, but this is like, it can be triggering for
some
people.
Still sits with you to a certain degree. And I think that that's the thing that people misunderstand is that just because something's happened such a long time ago and you've worked through it doesn't mean that there's not going to be a point in time where it's going to magically reappear and make you feel a certain way. Like it's just human nature. It's just a matter of acknowledging it and saying, okay, I feel it and I'm going to work through it right now. And that happens to me a lot with these shows and things, because you do have to pull down in deep and say, am I going to be really honest about this right now? Well, I have to be, because I'm sitting here and I'm trying to encourage you to do this. So, you know, and it's tough at times. I'm sorry you went through that, but I do hope you're in a better place with it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I was thinking about it and I'm like, you know, though it really didn't bother me that they did that. What bothers me is like, you're supposed to be my friends. Like mm-hmm. you guys were shitty friends.
Yeah. Right.
But it wasn't like, cause, and that's kind of where it went, was like, people were basically talking about like how we deal with shame and sexuality and being bisexual. And I was like, I've never been ashamed of it. Like my parents always knew that there was something different about me. My mom sat me down. But like these are conversations, and I think this is kind of what you're trying to get out. These are like very deep, deep conversations that you're gonna have with random people on the internet who you don't know.
Yeah.
And there's so much value in it though, because like you don't know who you're healing when you speak on this stuff, and also like you're healing yourself. And I think that that's such a beautiful thing. And that's why, like, I encourage, you know, when people come to me and they say, you know, I want to start content creating, like, I always tell them, like, it is not easy. And like, I don't do a lot of live videos. I definitely commend you for doing, you know, your talk shows every day, because dude, it takes so much out of me emotionally, because yep. I'm consistently having hard conversations that are painful. And again, when you're dealing with sex and sex positivity and your sex life with your partner, like that can be scary.
Yeah. And it's so true. The live sessions are very draining. I sometimes feel like I'm a really shitty friend because I am on social media so much that it's like, I'm sorry, I can't have a regular conversation right now because I'm so burned out because I just had to prepare for the show and do the show. And I'm not complaining about it, but there is like the give and take to it. And so I understand the emotional part of it, but I have to give you props because the content that you create, I'm like, wow, I'm like, it's well thought out. It's researched. The videos are insane. I'm like, there's so much quality going on here. And I'm like, I got a lot of fucking work to do.
It hasn't always been that way, but like I made a choice that I wanted. I'm like, you know what? I really don't give a fuck what people want to see, but I want to know about like the Egyptians and non-monogamy. Like that is interesting to me, right? Like it is, I like learning about like the history of swinging because I'm just a nerd like that. Mm-hmm. And I like making content that's fun and creative and where I feel like that's my thing is I'm getting my creativity out through like, this is a hobby for me and it's fun, but it's also work. And I know that you know that. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing is like when you can be your authentic self, as scary as that is, it also feels really, really good to know that even if 10 people see my Egyptian history of non-monogamy video, that like those 10 people liked it and I liked it, you know?
It was a good video. But the point of the matter is that swinging and non-monogamy is not something that just happened in the 2000s. It's been happening well before anybody could possibly imagine. So when I saw you pop that up, I was like, here we go.
I'm just waiting. So like, I have this really weird, and I talked about it on my Facebook a little bit, but it's this really, really weird thing where it's like, I feel identity theft. So I've always been somebody who wants to be different, right? Like, look at me. I have locks in my hair, and like, I dress differently, you know.
We have the same pants. Every single time I see the pants in the video, I was like, I'm so glad I'm going on our podcast because we have the same pants.
But I get this thing where if people copy my content, I'm just like, and I know, like, that's literally the point of the internet. Like, that's literally the point.
And it's such a compliment.
It is. And to like create trends, like this is literally where trends come from. Mm-hmm. But in my weird brain, I'm just like, so I want to create content that's like kind of on, like it's so unique that it's like on, I guess that like you can't copy it.
Well, I say you keep rocking on with your bad self because the assortment is out there. That I think is what I find most impressive is the range goes from like every which thing. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know that I have the brain capacity to flow that far and deep. So I commend you on that part of it too. It's incredible.
That's the beautiful thing about being neurodivergent and having ADHD. We may not be good at a lot of things, but
like we have these great ideas and then we just roll with them. Like that's what I'll be in the car and I'll just be like, oh, this is a great idea for a video, you know? And then I just go with it. And so I'm constantly doing it because I love it. And my husband is like frustrated because he's like, oh, you're making videos. I'm like, but I love it. It brings me so much joy. And I think getting to that place has taken me a really long time. And I actually want to ask you about your balance and how you have gotten to a place of, you know, loving making content as opposed to it being more of like a work business job thing.
Well, it took a long time and it only recently happened because I had to take some time away. You know, my story is a little bit weird in the sense of, okay, so I shared with you how I got into Mindbender parties. And then, you know, the boutique came about because of my work history and going to unemployment and getting accepted into some thing through the state. It was like this whole crazy thing that happened that like kind of set me up to get to the boutique. So again, it wasn't anything that I planned to do. And then the podcast was like that organically happened also because during COVID, it was literally like the week before COVID or the week of COVID, we were supposed to travel for one of our Shamrock events. And we decided that we were not going to do that because we were so uncertain about what was going on in the world. Like we didn't feel comfortable as a swingers group putting on a party, even though it wasn't really at the point where we should have canceled. Like we were kind of at that borderline. So we decided to go online and do an online live party from our living room. And the feedback was unbelievable the following days from it, where it was like a sense of belonging and comfort. And so that's how the podcast happened. So all of these things was kind of like, I needed to figure out how to do it because the universe presented it to me. And I felt like if I didn't do it, then I would be selling myself short. So it was kind of like literally the last 3 years has been learn, crunch, grow, try and do everything all at one time. And it was earlier this year, I think it was March, I believe. I had just finished recording a podcast on a Tuesday night and I needed to edit it up for the Thursday morning launch. And I'm in the middle of editing it and I cried my eyes out. I went into the living room and I had a complete breakdown to my partner. I was like, I can't do this. You know, and it was a certain degree of me feeling like an expectation from him that I needed to do all of these things because I'm capable of doing them and I'm doing them. But him not realizing actually what went involved in creating, learning, shipping, everything from every single business entity. And I said to him, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I said, I'm exhausted. I'm burned out. Like, I'm not having fun. I just am miserable. And so I took a lot of time off and I kind of like had to evaluate the importance of everything that I felt and needed to revitalize why I was doing this. And come this past August, I was like, this is what it is. It's about the podcast and sharing and communicating. And this is it. And so when I figured that out, I was like, oh my God, yes, I am now back to loving it. But I'm very vocal in telling everybody to please leave me alone when I need my space too, because it's all very draining for me. And being in public and then being around everybody, all the energy is so absorbing and it's a lot for me. And so like, I'm constantly taking naps. I'm constantly taking breaks from everybody. And I'm very, very vocal at this point in time of saying my mental health is really important to me and I need a break right now. And I'm sorry, I just can't be here or I can't do this. And then, and all of my people around me accept it and understand it now. And I'm very appreciative to them for it.
Yeah. Literally every single word you just said resonated with me. When I go to events that are hosted by the Swinger Society, and because we're hosts with them, you know, I used to love it, right? Like I used to think, oh my God, this is so great. Everyone's here, you know, but like everybody wants to talk to you and everybody wants something from you. And it's not their fault, right? Like I don't blame them at all. It's totally like the perception that we put out there that, like, you know, just every people have come to me and said, like, I feel like you're my little sister or you're my big sister. Like, I listen to your podcast and you just, like, I feel like we're friends. You know, they already feel like we're friends before they even meet me. So when they do meet me, and I don't know them, mm-hmm. you know, so it's really, really draining for me. And then also, like, I've had those moments, and, like, especially this past year, I had a moment where I just, like, broke down and I was like, something needs to change. Like, I literally cannot do this anymore. Because it's taking so much out of me. I work full time, you know, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a, you know, I have my own hobbies and my own things. Swinging was supposed to be like a weekend hobby for us, right? So that's the hardest thing. And moving on from that, and then trying to, you know, going to your partner or even business partners or people that you love and care about in your community and being like, hey, I can't do this anymore. Like, we need to figure something out to where everyone's happy, because I'm not happy doing this. That's a hard conversation.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I would feel, originally, I would feel selfish about it. Mm-hmm. And now I'm to the point where I'm like, no, it's not selfish. You know, if you think about what they tell you on the airplane, you know, you put your oxygen mask on first before anybody else's. And when I resonated with that, I was like, you know what? I understand the concept of it. And we are our own first priorities. And it's really difficult. You know, like, I sit here and I preach a certain thing, and that's to communicate. And if I'm not doing it myself, then what justice am I doing? I'm being a hypocrite, you know? And so I find sometimes I'm really bold in my words and probably really strong in the way that I present it at times. And I certainly don't mean it, but I am very true every single time I speak. So for that, I'm just really thankful for those that accept it and support me for it, because it is really hard on what we do. Because not only, you know, is there the business side of it, of the things that we have to strategically plan and everything, the negativity that we receive on the back end of it from those that don't understand, the unknowledgeable, uneducated, and just the unknown is very difficult at times. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of things flying all the time, and you certainly get that.
And we're giggling about that because that is just, and it's funny to me because it's always the same thing that people say about us. And it used to, like, I remember when my first video went viral and, you know, I was heavier then. So I felt uncomfortable in the weight that I was at. And a lot of people said, no wonder your husband wants to be a swinger. You're so ugly and fat.
They're just assholes.
Terrible people, right? Like, who would say that? But now when people say that stuff about me, I literally laugh at them. And I'm mm-hmm. just like, I am so sorry that your mother did not teach you manners, because why would you say, like, people literally will send me DM messages saying things like, I wish that you would just go die. Like, if I had a gun, I would shoot you. You know, just like, I know, like, terrible. I mean, I block them and I'm
that's
like,
insane. Oh,
but I know that all of those triggering, they're triggered. When mm-hmm. they see our content, they see us living our life authentically, and that's triggering them, yep. right? For whatever reason, for a childhood trauma that they went through, maybe a cheating spouse. Because I would say, like, 90% of the time, it's usually like a spouse cheated on them, and now mm-hmm. you
it's
know,
like a scorned thing,
right? Mm-hmm. Which I always say this: I feel like cheating and all of that, like, that is a very traumatic thing for people to go through.
Yeah.
And can be really triggering. So I do understand that. And I have a lot of empathy for them. But a lot of times I just really giggle at it. And I had a video go really super, super viral this past past couple of months. I mean, like, it's got almost like 13 million views, which is a lot for swingers.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the people who were in the video were, like, so hurt and so distraught over the comments, because, like, really, when a video goes viral like that, it's because of trolls and nasty
Oh, 100%. Some of the comments on some of my videos that are like popping out there are in a lot. Actually, a lot of mine have to do with STIs, and I would love to get into that for a second. But yeah, continue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they were so hurt by them, and they were like having, you know, really a lot of just issues dealing with those. And I was like, girls, you cannot read the comments. Like, if it's bothering you and if it's hurting you like that, and if it's making you feel some sort of way, you have to find a way to take yourself out of that situation. And like you said, the STI thing, like, again, another very common misconception.
Crazy. People ask me all the time about it. Like, somebody, I'm like really silly because I find it to be, as like you said, like now I find it to be funny. Originally, two things. One thing I don't find funny, this part I do, and I'll explain both. The comments on the STIs and like people giving them away and this and the other thing. Now I just put funny comments back on it. Like, I'm like, oh, I don't know, detectives are looking into it. Like, I just put all sorts of silly, silly crap because it's just, it's really, really just like uneducated nonsense, you know? And I'm like, well, if you would just take a time to actually read the posts and like understand it for a second, maybe you wouldn't have such silly comments to write. The times that things really do bother me from the troll standpoint is when we're doing lives. And if it's a conversation such as this, and there's two people on the screen that are fully clothed. Now, granted, sometimes I do it in my bathrobe or lingerie because that's just how I am all the time. And I refuse to change, and I won't, because that's just part of my nature. But if I'm having a real life conversation with you, like, I'm not expecting for you to keep telling me to get naked, to keep doing this, you know, like, when people like that come on, I will pause the show and say, you are the exact example of who does not belong in our alternative lifestyle spaces, because you don't have the respect on social media. How are you going to have the respect in real life to deal with people? And so that I don't like. I don't like the trolls in that regard. But on the comments field, yeah, I agree. You can't read them, or you just got to be funny back.
Well, that feels exploits. And that's something that I've really, really, really done a great job of working on, is the exploitation factor. So like, I'm a sex worker, you know, I'm a stripper, and I've also been an online content creator for like 4 years now, right? Mm-hmm. So I know when people are trying to exploit me and trying to get something out of me, and they think that they're so freaking smart, mm-hmm. and they're like, I'm going to get win over on this girl, and she's going to burp on screen or show me her, you know, feet or something. And they think, I don't know. I know every trick in the book. I hear it all, you know? So like, when people will ask me questions, like I do the ask me anything anonymously mm-hmm. questions, people will ask me very exploitive stuff. And I will literally tell them, like, I'm not answering this. Mm-hmm. Like, I am not here for you to be your sexual, I guess you could say, like, to give you some sort of sexual pleasure without you fucking paying me.
Right.
If you pay me, it's different and it's not exploitative. If you want to hear the answer to that, you can cash at me $10 right now.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, because, and that's where the difference is. Like I explained in the strip club, you know, the guys who sit there and watch you for free, those guys can fuck off. Because they're disgusting, right? But the guys who sit there and they're still watching you, but they're paying you, we like those guys. Those guys are cool. You know, like, because I'm providing a service. And unfortunately for me, I'm in a sexualized type of environment, right? Mm-hmm. With swinging and the swinger space online, it will always be sexualized.
Yep.
No matter how much education we want to put into it, people are going to sexualize it because it's a fantasy and it's a desire that people have.
Yeah.
So that's where you have to really have boundaries with your online presence. And this goes for the, you know, at the events as well. Like, people think that just because you are online and you're this sexy person online who likes to wear lingerie on lives and stuff, that like they can go to an event and just like fuck you. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the comments, like people message me all the time, like, oh, if I come to the event, do I get to play with you? No, like, I'm not an object. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a human being. Like, it's sometimes that like drives me crazy, because I'm like, I don't know what you think, you know, and then I'm like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait. I'm getting too personal here. You know, I'm like, we're, you know, and then I got to like reel myself in for a second. Cause I'm like, okay, you know, but it's a very unrealistic expectation to be like, okay, you see us on social media. So, you know, again, it relates back to what you said though, of them feeling like they were our friend already. So just because you have that sensation, we deal with millions, you're dealing with one. So it's very different, you know? And so
that's something that, and I want to kind of segue into this conversation because this is really where I've been at for a while, but I started looking at content creators, myself included. This is not just one person, one group of people, but I started looking at how, what content I was like, all right, I'm going to pretend that I am a normal person, not a swinger, and I'm watching this content. How is this coming off to me? And it's coming off, a lot of the content was coming off over-sexualized, like almost like we're selling a fantasy that you're going to come to these events, right? You're going to come to a, you know, Mindbender event. And I'm just using that because that's the name of your event. Yeah. But you know, you're going to come to this event and, you know, Mizzy Bender is going to be there. And because she's so over-sexualized on the internet and she's posting these videos that are asking people to swap and like saying, you know, just very over-sexualizing her content, that means that I have a chance. And when it comes to power dynamics, you really don't have a chance, right? Because you're probably at this point in your swinging journey, you only swap with people who are on your power dynamic level, whether influencers or other people who have some sort of authority in the lifestyle or an ambassador of some facet, because that's okay.
Yeah.
But not the people who are like fans and follow you and treat you like you're, I don't want to say celebrity,
but I have made that very clear to my audience at all times. Like if you are an attendee at our event, the chances of me playing with you are slim to none, because I'm sorry, I am never going to have any kind of repercussion on my business because of a sexual encounter. And that is a protective thing that I've put in place just due to learning and growing through my lifestyle journey here. And I'm okay with that. You know, like I do understand that it's a, probably a very bold boundary to have, but yes, to a certain degree, although it sounds weird to say, yes, playing with those on the same level is probably the right way to explain it, power exchange on how you're describing it. And I am very personal because we live so publicly and so out there. My experiences happen in a very private setting with people that I'm very close with, and it's never going to happen at the club. And if it does happen at the club, it's because my partner set up a very personal private space somewhere, and it's somebody that I've known for a very long time. And it is not just like an attendee person. It's either somebody super tight on our crew, or we personally brought them there for, you know, like to be with us or whatever it may be. So yeah, I am very structured in that way, but I'm very vocal, and very transparent on where I stand, because I never want there to be a misinterpretation of what it is. And so clear lines.
Right. And that's where I think that's where it needs to be now that we're in this space of like, you know, we want people to be able to consent. And just looking back on some of the situations of our swinging experience and other swinging experience, I've definitely seen how power dynamics can play a huge role in this and how it can be something that's very like, you do have to be very careful, and it, the power is within the person who holds that power. They have to create those boundaries and lines with people. And so people can understand, like, I'm not rejecting you because like I want to reject you, but I'm rejecting you because it's the right ethical thing for me to do.
Yes.
Morally, like I cannot, you know, play with you or swap with you because like you're a fan of mine. And especially a lot of them being newbies, because they do come into this lifestyle and they're like, I've watched you for so many years and you've helped us so much. Thank you so much. We want to play with you because I'm the first, you know, I'm their first, I guess, encounter with swinging.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really have found that it's so much better to keep your circle small. And most of the people that me and my partner play with either have no idea who I am because they don't have social media.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, Kylie, nice to meet you. I have mm-hmm. no idea who you are.
And it's
you
nice, know? Right?
There are people out there who don't know who I am at swinger events. There's actually more than not. Because not all swingers are on social media, right?
Yeah, it's true.
But I think that like that we really try to stick to that or stick to people within the same power dynamics, because consent, just like you don't realize people, and it goes both ways. And I've talked with a lot of event hosts about this. It goes both ways. Like some people just want to play with you so that like they can get VIP at your event,
mm-hmm.
or they can feel like that part of this social club of like the cool kids at mm-hmm. your event. Right.
Yeah.
And it feels almost very high school, but it is true. There are people who will try to take as much advantage of event hosts
yeah.
and people who are, you know, hold the keys, I guess, it's so to speak, they do take advantage of you. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why, like, so I can read people pretty clearly, and I'm really good at keeping people that are not healthy for my space away from me. And for that, we have a very, very tight knit group of people, very, very close. And for the longest time, it literally was probably just like four of us, like our two best friends and us. And it's taken me about like 5 years to allow others to come in. But that's just been like, you know, over time watching them as individuals. Like, this is a weird thing for me to say, but I think that it's important. So, you know, we all come into the swingers community because we're looking for something. And clearly at the end of the day, that is some sort of sexual ending in whatever mm-hmm. that may be for the individual. So at all times when I meet somebody new, I'm always keeping in mind that it is sex first. And then I keep that guard up until I can really learn you as an individual and really see if you're a good person or not. And I don't mean that negatively, but when people think about sex and only about sex, things shift in their brain, you know? So it takes me a really long time for me to be able to decipher through that and accept you as an individual. So that's really shitty of me as a person, but it takes me a really long time to say that, like, I will be your friend. But it keeps me really safe in this space, you know? And I feel okay with that because those that are in my space are the most incredible human beings and have never tried to take advantage of us at all. The ones that have are no longer there, and we have quickly learned.
And that's like, I really feel like something that I have struggled with is being able to, like, because again, like, just like you, you know, we were kind of, the universe like threw this at us for a reason, mm-hmm. right? Like, I always say this, how in the fuck have I lost so many accounts and had so much thrown at me? So many.
Reading that today, and I'm like, what the hell have you gone through? Like, this seems more, even more crazy than my shit.
Yeah, 30. I'm on my 30th account. I've lost probably over 500 to a million, 500,000 to a million followers, and, you know, in different accounts and different things, you know. So, like, keeping building that up, like, that's not just like, you don't do that unless you're meant to do something else. And I know that I'm not meant to like sell my OnlyFans and like make porn, right? Yeah. Like, I'm not doing this from a place of ego. And there have been times where I have done this from a place of ego.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have not done things that I'm not proud of, because right. I have done so many things and placed myself in these spaces doing things that I'm not proud of. Absolutely. But I want to continue to do things that I'm proud of, you know? And,
you know,
Well, I was just going to say I'm growing and I'm learning. And I think that as a community, as content creators, all of us Like, we need to form this alliance and we need to talk about it. And we need to be like, hey, this works for me. This works for you, you know. But I feel like in the content creating space, that can be really hard because there's so much ego involved with it. And I hate that part of it.
Yeah. So I want to touch upon a few things, and it might even backtrack to some of the conversation we were having earlier about the way that we present the content on social media. And you kind of have to think back through the last couple of years and the way that the structure of social media has flown, because, you know, in my opinion, the swingers influencing field really launched maybe like mid-COVID, tail end of COVID, where it became like really explosive, in my opinion. So in that time frame prior to, it was kind of not really, you know, it was a little bit quiet on social media end, but at the same time, OnlyFans now became a very popular thing. And because of COVID, I think that the way that social media flowed, you all of a sudden had this influx of Instagram models and all these different things. And so all of a sudden, you know, now here we are during, you know, the world on pause, we all become influenced, these Instagram models or whatever these content creators were at that time. And it was an organic sell to our OnlyFans. Because of us being swingers, we were putting that content on there. Initially, I was doing that. Do I agree with it now? No offense to anybody that does it, and nothing personal. I don't agree with it now simply because, yes, now we're sexualizing it, and now you've now just put it into the porn field, my opinion. You know, I think it's okay for all of us to have our OnlyFans and do things, but I don't necessarily know that selling it specifically towards our swinger videos and stuff like that is right. So I did change my OnlyFans, and I don't do that anymore just because of my own way of thinking. And now watching the shift on social media, I think that as the world kind of like, you know, grows and does its thing, you no longer have all of that Instagram modeling popularity crap going on right now. People want real news. They're searching social media as their outlets. They're looking for information. So like those short, quick videos of, you know, really pulling people in is the organic shift of where we need to go. So although I do really believe that we are the downfall and positive side of the way that this has gone for all the influencers through social media, I do also think that it's the way that the world was presented us at the time. And we just have to keep growing with the structure of how social media changes and realize that, yes, we probably shouldn't be selling sex so much associated with it, but the education part of it. And so I think that you'll start to see that happening now because it's the only movement that we're allowed to have because social media is making it that way.
And I really hope, honestly, like that's my hope. I can tell you as somebody who has been in the OnlyFans space as well that like, so I still have my OnlyFans and I only have it because like, I know the difficulty of like, if I delete it, you know, for other people who I've done videos with in the past. And I don't want to put them through that because no one deserves that, right? But like for me, again, it's about selling it. And that's where that selling of a fantasy comes into this. Like, you know, I'm a stripper. So like I'm selling a fantasy to these guys that come in there that I'm this Marley character, right? So like I created this character, Sexy Swinger Chick, and she's this very like sexual swinger, right? Who fucks all of her friends. And like now I'm in a place where like I don't want to sell any of that to anybody because it's really changed my swinging experience. And it was not, I don't believe was healthy for me personally. Because it was more about creating content and creating, oh my God, like let's make this like hot video that we can sell. And I'm like selling, I feel like I'm selling my lifestyle that's like a true part of me to people. And that feels icky to me personally now. And I'm not saying that it's not, if other people want to do that, they're absolutely 100%. I think that's great. And if it helps them feel, and I think for a lot of people, it can be good. Confidence boosting, getting into sex work and, you know, feeling sexy with your partner and dressing up in lingerie, like, and being an exhibitionist, right? And like showing that to the world. Those are all very healthy, good things. But you also have to remember the things that come with it. And the things that come with it are you're either doing one or the other. Because if you're on here and you're educating people about swinging, right? And I did air quotes, educating, because a lot of the people that we see, they're the only education that they have is their experiences, which is fine. You can share your experience on the internet, but don't come on the internet and say, well, I have all of this knowledge of swinging and consent and all this, when you're not actually backing that up and doing the work. And you're using that on your platform to get people to your social, or, you know, to your other socials that are paid, the OnlyFans, right, and the Fansleys and the Pornhubs. Like, you're basically putting the wool over somebody's eyes, using our lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it's like you're using the whole community.
Yeah.
It feels like.
Yeah. And I definitely understand the perspective. And I'm really happy to hear you have the similar point of view as myself, because, you know, of course, we don't want to be offensive to anybody else and we want to support everybody's journeys and everything. But at the same time, it's okay for us to learn and grow and just know that we don't belong at that place anymore. But it was a really important part of our journey. Mm-hmm. Because I think that it's still, you know, it's very important for us to still talk about and morph into what it is that we're, you know, still trying to actively do. So although I'm not going to say I regret it, because like I said, I do still have my page up there and I still have all the content up there. Although all of my like threesome stuff got taken down, because at the time it was like the shift between getting all of the forms filled out and stuff like that. And I'm like, whatever, I'm not going through all this. So it's really just all my own personal stuff now, because my partner he never was able to get qualified on there for some reason. So like, I still have it on there, and maybe I'll post some like booby pictures, because like, I'm a huge fan of like nudity. You know, I think it's a beautiful thing, but I don't promote my OnlyFans. If you happen to come across it, great, you know, whatever. But like, I don't actively talk about it. And so that's like one of the things in my pause that I was doing this year, of like, what fits in my brand and what works for me now. You know, even with my podcast, I had a really hard time designating it as a swingers podcast, because I'm like, I don't just talk swinger stuff. I talk everything adult, from sex to mental health to powerful women to who the heck knows and everything in between. So to change it to just adult podcast, I felt so much better and felt like I was connected with what I was doing so much more, you know. So it's a journey, and the whole thing, and it's all these learnings that I have had this year. It sounds like you too.
I've had this literally like verbatim journey, even with my podcast. Crazy. Like, realizing that yes, the fun, sexy stories are great, and I love them, and I don't personally listen to other people's fun, sexy stories. That's not my sort of, that's not what I'm looking for in content. What I'm looking for in content is education and experiences that are outside of sexual. So when I started forming my podcast into something different, I realized that there was this shift, and it really happened organically, and it became less about us going to all of these parties, and almost like it really almost feels like it's throwing it in people's faces, like, look at this lifestyle that me and Brad are living, and we are going to all these glamorous parties and fucking all of these hot people, you know. And like, it really turned into more of like, all right, I want to educate people not just about swinging, but like, let's talk about polyamory. Let's talk about relationship anarchy. Let's talk about spirituality, like things that really were starting to resonate with me personally, and communities that I have started to resonate with. I wanted to share that with the world. And I feel so much better about the content that I'm putting out there. And it makes me feel like I am making a difference, as opposed to just like, look at my glamorous swinger life. Mm-hmm. Here I am, the most glamorous, you know, locked Barbie doll in the whole entire community, right? Like, and I think that is so, that's a part of the growth. And I'm really glad to hear that, like, you, it sounds like our journeys, almost like the universe put that same thing into us at the same time. And we saw the shift, you know, because we've been a part of these spaces. I definitely saw the exact same shift that you're talking about, how so many people, you know, yes, maybe they do get there to the parties for the sexual aspect of it, But then they go to one party and they don't come back because they felt so out of place. Because swinging is not just about sex. Mm-hmm. We know this.
Yep. And that was one of the things on, I guess maybe similarly, I did the same thing with the content creators. Like, what are people putting out there? And although I do agree with promoting, like, oh, I'm with this person, I'm with that person, I found like, but how do you get to that point? People think that you're just going to go to the club and be like, oh, I get to have all these people. And it's very unrealistic. And I'm like, okay, we got to go back to basics here. And we got to start putting down the fundamental foundation of like what it's like, you know? So to know that there was somebody as passionate on the education part as it was with you when I was seeing all your content, and then to have the conversation with you and have the opportunity to be on your podcast, I was like, oh, this is really great. Because I do think that the universe puts you in touch with those that are going to make you think a lot more and grow a lot more. And I will tell you, coming out of this conversation with you, I feel a lot better with my journey, because sometimes you get insecure of like, am I thinking about this right? Am I whatever? And to know that there are people going through it in the same exact way and have same thoughts and stuff like that, it's reassuring, you know?
I agree. And it helps you really resonate with yourself, because you feel like you're like, oh my God, I'm not alone. I'm not, because I've tried to speak in different communities about this, and I've gotten a lot of pushback, because change is tough, right? Like, nobody wants to change their content, like, and nobody wants to change what they're putting out there. And so I just realized, you know what, if I'm not resonating with those people, that's okay. That they're on a different, you know, it, yeah. I think of it like, we're, my mentor actually taught me this analogy. Like, we're in a matrix, right? We're in a computer program, right? And this is crazy conspiracy stuff, but
okay.
I'm in one computer program and those people are in another computer program. Does that mean that their computer program is bad? Absolutely not.
Right.
But it means that I'm in a different one. Yep. And I've shifted over to the other one. And yep. That's okay. Yep. That's totally fine. And I think it just takes some time to really get to this place. It takes mm-hmm. a lot of self-reflection. It took me getting sober, and it took me realizing that like swinger parties are so much more than just these sexy environments where we dress up and fuck each other. Yeah. They are places where we can be vulnerable and share our kinks and share our journeys with each other and meet so many beautiful people along the way. And that's really what I want to share with the world. And I hope that you continue to share that with the
yes,
world.
Yes, I definitely intend to. I do feel like it's my mission. So
me I too.
For the long haul.
And I'm really, really lucky that like I've been put into rooms with a lot of the ambassadors who have been ambassadors of the lifestyle, right? The podcasters and the event hosts and the people, like, I mean, when I say event hosts, I mean like the big ones, right? Like the, and what I, and when I tell them things like this, it really resonates with them. I don't know if it's because I'm a cute, young, kind of what they see as radicalized because of the way that I look. I'm not really that radicalized, but listen.
But you are unique and captivating. So
yeah. And they listen to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important. Like they listen to me because I back it up. I don't just talk the talk and say, hey, I'm this advocate who does all of these great things. Like I actually do those things. And I put the time and the effort into volunteering and spending hours and hours on end, you know, on a weekly basis, really trying to learn and get better so mm-hmm. that I can help the community. And that's where we have to be. Like if it's truly being an advocate for the lifestyle, we truly have to live in that and yep. be that.
Yep. I always say like, you just got to learn to be your best lifestyle yourself. And that's what I'm here to help you do. And so like rock on together.
Rock on. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you, and like, how can people get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you?
So you could go to my website, mizzybender.com, or you can find me on social media, Mizzy Bender, everywhere. It's very, very easy. If you wanted to communicate with me, if you have like a show topic or just like something of the sorts, my email is best, mizzybender@outlook.com.
Okay, easy, easy. And where do you usually do your events at in case people are like, oh, I might want to go to one of their events?
We primarily host in Rhode Island.
Okay, so if you're in that part of the US and you think, maybe this would be a good thing for me to start with, especially because I feel like because you prioritize safety at your events, it might be a good thing to look into. For people who are newer to the lifestyle, who maybe need a little bit more reassurance in the safety measures and stuff. So, I would, if you're in that area, if you're in the Rhode Island area, definitely.
Northeast, the whole Northeast.
Yeah, for sure. And I've had a lot of friends who have went to your parties and they absolutely love them.
Winner, winner. Thank you for that.
So, yeah, guys, I hope that you like this podcast and thanks for riding on the Pineapple Express with us.
Bye, guys.